Oh, there it is.
Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire. New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyslip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Palo de Borghese.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Tommy Bird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vivac Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWineMaker.com.
Dunkle.biz.
I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
This week,
yeah, me and my cold. Woohoo! This is great.
I forgot to tell you, and I just remembered during the opening there. I'm not going to be with you next week, so if you want to do the show, yes, you are more than welcome to. But I am going to head up Wednesday morning to Atlanta, and I won't be back until late Thursday night, probably after midnight. Oh. So,
okay.
No, next week.
Wow. Okay. Well, let me see if I can put something together, or we'll just have an off week.
If you can find something to put on there, that's cool too. Or run a past episode even, or something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
But no live me next week. So.
Huh. Wow. Which is okay. Sad. Well,
yeah.
On.
Well,
there's a sound effect for that.
Oh, is there?
No, Ron, next week.
Oh. We got him.
Yeah.
We need to use him. Yeah.
He's going to be in Atlanta. So, I know. Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Okay. Pause. I don't know why it didn't pause there. Yeah, very good stuff. And I heard in our little promo there that. I heard Joy of Wine on there, and which kind of brings up tonight's guest in a way.
Oh,
so I thought that was kind of interesting. I heard Joy of Wine. I go, oh, wow.
Oh, I didn't know it was in there. I just, you know, I'm usually when that's on, I make notes and I was working on the paperwork and stuff like that. I don't listen.
Yeah,
not that I don't listen, but I I don't know why that thing has such a long pause at the beginning.
Yeah, I looked at the timer. It was 5 seconds. I mean, it doesn't seem like a long time, but when it says your show is now on the air, and you're going, okay, and there's nothing. And then see a little timer going.
Me too.
Yeah,
and I'm going, wow, that's strange. I don't know.
I, But I listened to the audio file itself. There was no break in the beginning, so I don't think
really?
It's something they're doing.
Maybe. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to us tonight. That'll be our show.
Yep, thank you. Have a good night.
Thank
and
you.
See you next week. Or maybe.
Maybe, yeah. I have to go back and reminisce on the opening there a little bit. Every time I hear some of those people on there, some great guests. We had some, we've really had some very interesting guests over the years, and it's fun to listen to that opening and remind us of that too. So,
very cool.
Yeah.
Let me go get
run out and get Joy and go throw her in the green room, and we'll we'll get her in here because Joy's got lots of stuff to talk to us about. So we're looking forward to it. Yeah, so Mike just ran out. Excuse me. Mike just ran out to go grab Joy and get her on the program with us and get her all set to tell us about her new ventures. We talked to her back in October, and we also have, I think this is the third time we've had her on, fourth, because we've had her on a couple of Halloween's our third. I don't know. I have to ask them. I don't remember. So she's going to come with us here, and she's going to tell us about her new ventures and all the stuff that she's been doing lately, and we'll find out what is what's happening with Joy Neighbors and Joy's Joy Wine and a grave interest. I talked about some of her stuff last week on the program. If you didn't hear it, I was quoting some of her blog on wine. If you are not a recipient of her blog, by all means sign up for it. There's some great interesting news, and that's something else I wanted to ask her tonight, her research about some of these things, because she finds things on that you're going, whoa, where'd that come from? So it should be interesting to see what's going on with her research and how she does that. And they're there. I see them. He got a hold of her, so it should be pretty quick here. We'll get him on the program. Hope everyone's having themselves a good springtime here and on ready to head into the summer months. We are getting our typical Florida weather. And I do have to say quickly before we do anything else is go Lightning. We are excited about our hockey team down here, and we're looking for them to go a long ways in the Stanley Cups. Oh, looks like Joy's in the green room. So let's get her onto the program. Hello, Joy. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, Ron. How are you? You had me worried with that go Lightning. I thought you were, cheering on the storm.
No. I could say go Bolts, and that's what we call them that down here. So that's, that works, too.
I live in Tornado Alley. It's scary.
Oh, I know. I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri, and I know scary and tornadoes. So yeah. I was panicking early. You didn't see my email. I sent an email to you in the middle of the afternoon saying, I can't find your phone number. Send it to me. And you didn't respond, but Mike had it. So Mike saved the day, or else you were going, why haven't they called me? What's going on here?
Yes. And Mike would have been interviewing whomever he called.
That's right. You're going, wait a minute. Well, thanks for joining us tonight. Well, I was just telling people, you got new stuff going on here, and I didn't mention, but you even got a new hairstyle for us tonight. And
did.
Yeah. You got it all chopped off, did you?
I did.
Ah.
I've gone short. Well, if you look on the webpage, that's it.
Oh.
And it's exactly that color, even though I said, I want to kind of go the light red. She decided to go bright red because it
bright.
Made my eyes stand out.
Light. She might have misunderstood. Yeah.
I'm bright red. I'm like, I love Lucy Red right now.
Oh. Let's see. What happened to it? Oh, there it is. Your Tour de Joy. This is the one here. There's a slideshow on the page, right?
Yes, there is.
No, there isn't. Not for me. I for some
there
reason.
Isn't?
Mike and I was talking about the side. I was looking at the stuff on there, and I go, wow, Mike, why is there this great big white space on there? And he goes, no, there's pictures popping, not on mine.
Yeah, there's a slideshow. Yeah, you might have your, maybe a script or something blocking on your browser or keep preventing it from happening.
I don't know, but it's not popping up. So, I don't know.
Well, it probably has a few bugs in it, too. As I said, it's it went up about 5 till 6 my time, 5 till 7 your time.
Today?
No,
why
did you
find it earlier?
I have always done this. I was supposed to be born, you know, in the middle of April, and I showed up the 1st of May. So I'm always going last minute. Got to do it now. So
yeah.
It's there now.
Yeah. I told Mike, I said, you know, I looked for this afternoon. I couldn't find it. And I'm going around. And I'm searching different things. There was nothing there. And and I tried it while I was talking to him, and here it popped up. And I'm going, oh, here it is. And
it's
he's
magic,
saying, well,
yes.
Yeah. It just disappeared, you know. So, but, you know, there's more things there than I thought. I mean, I was clicking on it, too, and the oddities tour and the historical tours aren't popping up anything for
me.
Oh,
let me check.
Well, as
project, I said,
wine tours and transportation tours are all showing up wine tours.
Bugger.
So.
Oh, dear. It did, didn't it? Okay, we have a few bugs with this program right now.
Considering you just popped it up there less than half an hour ago.
I get it. Yeah. Well, tell me what you want to talk about, and I will tell you all about it.
Okay. Well, it will. To begin with, it was something I just mentioned before you came on the air. I plagiarized your site again last week, like I do quite often. And one of the things, though, that I was curious about, your research. I mean, you really do have a lot of information on your blogs that aren't something that you pick up the daily newspaper and say, oh, look at this, and then write in your blog. Your research, if you will, tell us a little bit of your research process of finding what you're going to write about and some of the details. I mean, there's things like the Melbeck information and the size to that, and then, you know, you had the cooking sites and the glass houses and the pictures, the bottle houses.
Yeah.
What goes into this research, if you will?
What I do, I will sit down on Thanksgiving weekend, and I will look at the next year's calendar, and I will start looking on every Wednesday what the date is, and then I will Google and see, you know, is there anything special going on? Was that a historic day or something? And I kind of try to tie things in like that. And then if it's not, you know, a day morbidly, but it is a cemetery. Excuse me, no, I'm talking about the wrong one. Let me shift back. Wine, it's all about wine. I'm sorry. And I was going to say, well, you know, I look for when someone dies. And that's really not going to fly with this.
No, all about wine.
Yeah, shifting back to the wine. I will look and see if there's anything historical that's happened and see if I can get something, you know, from that. And then I just kind of go off on those weird tangents. And I take clippings if I see something in the paper or something on Google, you know, a screen snapshot. And I've got a folder I can go to and go, oh, that would be really good. That's what I did with the glass houses. I had seen where someone had mentioned that there was a house made of champagne bottles in Russia. And I started researching that. And there are a lot of houses out there made out of bottles. I didn't know
really?
That. There are a lot of beer bottle houses.
Wow.
And then, I found the champagne is really popular. Several houses made out of champagne bottles, a few out of wine bottles. I found Dr. Hope's bottle house in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
He was a pharmacist, so he used medicine bottles. And then, of course, I was really, really intrigued with the embalming fluid house. And
well,
we'll see that on a grave interest. Yeah, it was just that. You're kidding. I mean, and this was done in the 50s, so he was green way before anybody thought about it. But that's what he built his house out of. He was a mortuary guy. And so he got all his mortuary buddies to save their bottles, and he saved his bottles, and he has an embalming fluid house.
That's odd. That is truly odd.
Yes. That's extremely bizarre, actually.
Yeah.
But it's just weird things that catch my attention.
Yeah. Champagne houses, you can understand, because the champagne bottles are usually thicker and heavier, so that would make sense.
Yeah, the wine bottle house, it's a little thinner material.
Yeah, and you can see why they would go champagne as opposed to wine. So that's just it. You just sit down Thanksgiving weekend and plan your blogs for the following year, and it's just pop stuff in there.
Yeah, I do. And then, you know, if I've got two or three Wednesdays in a row that I don't have anything, I go back to my little idea file and pull out strange ideas that, like, ooh, that'll be fun.
Well, that works. So how do you find, you know, these things? Well, obviously far in advance, a week or 2 weeks in advance for Melbach Friday and a Cabernet Day and Rosé Day and, you know, Petit Sirah Day. I mean, you seem to have all of these that are always popping up there. How do you find all these things? Is there a go-to site that tells us what particular wine holiday is coming up?
I actually Google wine holidays, or I will go month by month. I'm not kidding, on some of these calendars.
Really?
And look, and it's like, oh, I didn't know that. There is no Merlot Day, and I'm very unhappy. So I had to invent my own this year, because there was actually a create your own holiday.
Right.
It was the 26th of March, make up your holiday, and that became my Merlot Day. So
no Merlot Day. That is odd, considering they have all those others. Yeah, really.
I know. But see, Merlot, they use it as a blending grape, so I guess they just didn't think it was dignified enough.
Wow. Well, I mean, look at...
So I gave it its own day.
Melbach, though. Well, Argentina did the Melbach Day, so I was going to say that was a blending grape, too. But, yeah. There's this, you know, strange stuff. And correct me if I'm wrong, you may or may not know this, but the Tennant grape, is that one of the most planted grapes in the world?
I do not know.
I think I know it's not the most planted. There's one that's planted a lot in Spain, and I can't think of the name of it now, but I think the Tennant grape is right on up there as the most planted grape in the world, which I always think that is odd, considering that we never can go down to the store and say, give me a bottle of Tennant, because...
Right.
There is none. Yeah, so the website, my engineer, actually my wife, pulled up the website on her laptop. Are you getting the slideshow on it? Madam Engineer, you're not? Okay, she's not getting the slideshow on hers either, on the laptop,
okay.
And she went through another browser.
God, I'm getting it on Yeah, I'm getting it on my Firefox. I haven't tried it on Chrome yet.
That might be the problem.
I'm on Google. Or Chrome.
Are you on
Chrome? I'm on Chrome.
Let me try it
both of us.
Okay.
I'll try it on Chrome real quick.
Yeah.
And it's not popping up.
I am not a Chrome girl.
Yeah, that's what we have on both of these.
Doesn't
come up
on
Chrome then. There. That's the problem.
Oh, wait. Yeah, just
did.
Oh, did?
Good.
Yeah, I did.
Yay, I don't have to work on that problem.
Well, it's just, wow.
It was just coming up.
Did it come up on yours?
Let me see.
Okay, she said it just came up on hers, too. So it's not coming up on hers. I've got a desktop I'm working off of, and she's got a laptop, but she said it just popped up on hers. But we both have Chrome, though, so...
Joy must be multitasking. She's working on the website and talking on the show at
and
the same time.
Talking.
How do you know that?
Because these moments of delay. Okay,
yeah.
Then we get a little.
Let me think about that.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Okay, so we're on. for all of you out there listening, and if you're listening on archives or anything, you can still check this out. Tour de Joy, www.tourdjoy, tourdejoy.com. And that's her new site. Okay, here she is. My engineer just brought me over the laptop so I can see the slideshow here and see what you did to your head.
I went
with it. What river is this?
We have a lag.
Oh.
If you're seeing a river, it's the Ohio.
Okay. Okay. And then
the mighty Ohio.
Yeah, there's a real cool winery right on the banks and the shores of the Ohio there.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
restaurant.
That is near what they call Vivi. That's Indiana. Vivi,
yeah.
Indiana.
Yeah, that's...
Which is spelled Vive, but... I don't know why. When you go into town, you know, and say something about Vive, and the locals will say, it is Vivi. You go, okay.
Okay. It's like Missouri town. We have a German, little small German town not too far from here in Pasco County that's called Missouri town, but the spelling is... really strange, huh? So yeah, I can understand that. Well, you did get your hair cut off, didn't you? Wow. the picture just popped up here. Your tours, they start tomorrow night, you say?
No, the tours are going to start on June 19th. No, 18th. Oh. 18th. Let me look at my schedule. Where did I put it? Okay, June 18th is the first one. That's a Thursday.
Oh.
And that's going to be a casino hop.
All right. Well, tell us about each one of these. And like I say, we can. It may be because I'm on Chrome again, but I can pull up the casino hops, and that shows me what it is. And then the foodie and the wine tour are both wine tours, and the transportation tour pops up as a wine tour, and the historical tours and oddity tours don't pop up as anything.
Well, at least we're popping up more wine. Because it's about wine.
Well, there you go. Thank you. I like your segue
I'll get a
there.
Plug in for you. Some of these I'll just have to tell you about because I haven't a clue why they're not coming up.
Oh.
And I'm not going to look right now. So.
Okay. Well,
the
casino hops.
The casino hops, basically what we're going to do, these are three casinos that are located in Indiana. And if you know the Cincy Tri-State area, it's Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana.
Right.
And
with the river separating.
Yes. I lived in Cincinnati for several years, and you kind of get insulated in that area. You don't go outside of the Cincinnati area, so you don't really cross into Indiana. If you cross into Kentucky, it's because you're going to the airport or you live right there in the little burgs that are considered Cincinnati. So I decided to do something that would kind of expand the reach a little bit because most people from there haven't been to these places. And there are three casinos within an hour and a half that I thought, a casino hop, why not? We'll go, we'll spend 2 hours at each casino. It gives you a chance to kind of get acclimated to the place, play a few games, find out what you like, what you don't like, and then we'll go to the next one. And you get to do three in an 8-hour, 9-hour span. And then you know more, you know, where you want to go. Or you can take another casino hop, and we'll take you again. And we'll rotate the different casinos, you know, as we go, so you don't know that you're going to Hollywood first and Rising Star next. It'll be kind of mixed up, so...
Now,
but yeah, we're going to do those on Thursdays.
Riverboat Casino gambling, is that was passed by the state of Indiana? So it is riverboat.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
you
are not on terra firma. You are on the river when you do this.
Yeah, but, you know, I've been to riverboat casinos, Missouri passed along and all that, and what they basically do is they block it off so much like it's on water, but it's like they have cement pillars pounded into the riverbed and stuff like that. I mean, you don't move, you don't rock or anything there. Is that the same as you got there?
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Yep. You're on the river, but
You're
not moving on the river.
Yeah. All right.
Anything to get around their gambling laws, but
it works. And it brings in extra money to the state coffers, just like wine does if they just let them do it. So. And that'll segue right back to wine there. Yeah, I know. And then, every Thursday you're going to be doing riverboat?
Well, and then my husband said, let's not do this every single Thursday. So we're doing it once a month on Thursday.
Okay.
And we will start June the 18th, and then I have a tour in July, one in August, one in September, October, November, December.
Oh, very good. And you have a bus?
Yes. We have a big blue bus, which you cannot miss when we pick you up. And we will take you to the casinos. And on the way, a lot of this, if we're going into Indiana, we're going to be taking the river byway, the scenic Ohio River Bypass. And it really is. It's gorgeous. There are times on that highway where you just look down and there's the river.
We took that. My wife and I took that. Yes. We were in Ohio and Kentucky, I guess it's been about 6 years ago now. And we jumped over into Kentucky and visited wineries around Kentucky. I love visiting wineries in Kentucky. They guide you to the front door, the signage and everything. But
yes. We
came back across. We went east and came back across and visited a winery that was right there on the river. And they said they've been flooded two or three times. And we took the river scenic tour, which is really, really beautiful. I mean, it was in the summer that we did it, and it was just a gorgeous tour. We saw a big riverboat floating down, you know, past us and stuff. But, yes, it is a gorgeous area there.
It is, and especially in the autumn.
Mm-hmm.
When those leaves start to change, it's just magical.
I can imagine.
That's what we're going to do for the show.
And, The $60 for anyone who's living in the area wants to do it, $60. And do you have to book in advance know what's going on? Or?
You do, and I'm hoping the book now button works, but I haven't tried that yet either. but I'll have this all worked out over the week.
Okay.
Exactly. We'll get in here and start tinkering again. You can go to the page, and you'll get your opportunity to pick which date you want to go, and click the button, and it's all credit card. Put your credit card information in, and you will have your reservations made. And the only part that I can really, really, really stress is to arrive 20 minutes early, because the bus will leave exactly at the time it says. For the casino hops, it will leave at 9 o'clock. So, you know, I don't want anybody showing up at 9:20 thinking, they'll wait because we won't.
It's not going to happen.
And I've got that broadcast background, so I'm one of those, 9 o'clock, we got to go.
We'll get there early. And I have to ask, and I'm sure it is, but with all this talk about identity theft, the site for the credit card, everything is completely secure, and no worries or no problems or anything.
Nope.
All right. I mean, it's just, again, I'm sure it would be, but.
Right. No, I appreciate you asking. It is a totally secured site, and your information doesn't go to anyone. So
right,
we take care of that, and you get to take a trip with us and have a good time.
I mean, once a month, you get to look forward to going to three different casinos, so that's even cool, too.
I do. And, you know, I'm all about the food, so I'll be hanging at the restaurants.
There you go. All right.
I'm the restaurant and bar girl, so I'll be checking out the food and the drinks.
That sounds fun. That really does sound a lot of fun. Which brings us to, and here's a good segue, Foodie Fridays.
Foodie Fridays, which actually you can see as wine.
That pops up as the wine. Wine down the month wine tours on Foodie Fridays.
I know. Well, we'll get to those. Foodie Fridays are going to be the fourth Friday of every month.
Let me interrupt. The picture that says click here. I clicked, and it took me to wine, but the little things at the top of the page, I clicked on Friday there, and it took me to Foodie Friday Tours.
Okay, so just use the bar for now.
Use the bar, not the the big ones.
Right.
All right, there we go.
That's also fitting for a wine show. We stick with the bar.
Well, I love the way this is all tying in tonight. This is great.
Yeah.
All right,
well, good.
Foodie
you can
Friday.
See Foodie Friday, see?
Yes, I can actually
and
see
that's,
it.
I actually made it, it's like a tongue twister, Fourth Friday Foodie Tour. So, and I thought, let's just call that Foodie Friday.
Yeah.
But it's once a month. We have two tours, so you can take it a couple of times.
Oh.
And what we're going to do, tour one is going to start in the northern part of Cincinnati. And if you've ever been to Cincinnati, you're remiss if you have not gone to Jungle Gyms.
I have, and I was remiss.
Oh, you haven't?
I haven't been to Jungle Gyms.
Oh.
No, I haven't. I've been to Cincinnati. I've been to Cincinnati quite a few times in my life. Never been to Jungle Gyms.
And you've never been?
No,
it's been.
What is Jungle Gyms?
Jungle Gyms is a grocery / international market. And it started out in the 70s. Basically, it's a produce stand on Route 4. And he kept bringing other items in. And then he built a small shed, and then he built the building. And it's acres. It is huge. It is.
I think every city in the country has one of those. I really do.
Yeah, that you're like, oh, wow. I could spend the day here. And it has everything. I mean, when we first heard about it, which was in the 90s, and some people said, oh, you have to go to Jungle Gyms. You won't believe it. And we're walking along, you know, looking at all the different foods. And I mean, just about anything you can think of is there. And I went around to the meat case, and there are sheep heads.
Oh!
Not kidding. Really? I mean, I saw these in Spain, and it's that, I didn't know we had anywhere here in this country that did this. And there they are, sheep heads, a little eye, everything. Just,
the eyes
everything.
And everything? Oh, boy.
Yes. It's chicken feet. It's just, it's an adventure.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Jungle Gyms. Never heard of it. I have to punch in and look under Jungle Gyms. I'm sure he has a website.
Well,
yeah.
It became so popular, there are now two Jungle Gyms in Cincinnati.
Two Jungle Gyms.
One at the north, which is the original, and now one at the east. So, it's cool. So we will start at Jungle Gyms, but we won't go in there first. The bus will pick you up at Jungle Gyms, and then we will go to the IKEA Swedish Market, which is known for their Swedish meatballs.
Well,
and you don't think of IKEA as having food. You think of furniture.
Right.
So this is, you know, this is kind of something new they're doing, which would be fun. Then we have Findlay Market, which is an institution in downtown Cincinnati. Findlay Market has been there forever, at least a century.
Wow.
And there are so many different cool places. This is another place where you could spend a day. And then in Kentucky, in Florence, they did a little take on Findlay Market, and they called it Friendly Market.
Friendly.
Yes. So we're going to hit both of them.
All right.
And the tour will be about 6 hours. You can sample at every place we go. We are going to get some behind the scenes along with the regular tours, and we will have lunch included.
Wow.
So tour one will be on June the 26th, August the 28th, October 23rd, and December the 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have tour two, which is actually going to take you, I forgot to tell you, let me back, you know, because I need to put that in here too. We will wrap up at Jungle Gyms at Fairfield. So
yeah, that needs
to
be in there,
and,
right.
Yeah, you'll do your samples, and you'll get your tour, and they will probably end it at the wine bar.
All right.
And you're on your own from there.
Ah.
They have, I mean, it is an amazing, amazing wine department.
Hmm.
That's worth a couple hours. If you're a wino.
Never been to Jungle Gems. That might be a needed trip to Cincinnati now, just for that.
Yeah, you have to go. And if you like beer, they have beers from all over the world.
Wow.
And their people are knowledgeable. So you can go in and say, you know, I'd like to find out Russian beer, and I'd like to pair it with a meal, and they will tell you where to go in their store to pick up the food and to get the beer, and they'll help you put a meal together. They'll help you put a party together. So I love Jungle Gems. Can you tell?
No, I'm going to have to check out Jungle Gems. We're going to have to go to Cincinnati just to check out Jungle Gems.
Yes. Yeah,
are you familiar with it? I'm asking my engineer here. Are you familiar? You're not? No, she's not either.
Huh. Oh, okay. You got to Google them.
Well, I know. Yeah. No, but it was there then, maybe. All right. So, tour number two, Jungle Gems also, but Jungle Gems Eastgate.
Yes, that's the new Jungle Gems.
But that can't be as cool as the original, because the original, he just kept building on and building on.
That's true. This is a large one, but it's not the original.
No, okay.
But we'll start in the parking lot there. And, again, Finley Market, as I said, an institution in Cincy. You can't miss that. And then there's Krimmer's Market, which I have not been to yet, but I have heard great things about it. So mm-hmm. we're going to go there. And then we will once again go to the Friendly Market in Kentucky and come back to Jungle Gems at Eastgate.
Uh-huh.
And do, again, some behind-the-scene tours and a little, you know, private get to see what goes on and how they put things together and why they have what they have.
That'd be cool.
Learn some foodie facts and get to have some good food.
Uh-huh. Do you have a little certificate you give your people afterwards saying I took the Jungle Gym tour or anything like that?
You know, that's a good idea. Thank you, Ron.
You're welcome.
We will now.
So the answer is
yes.
No to my question.
Yeah, well, we will now.
Well, I just think it'd be cool. Just a little certificate. You know, you can have them, you know, printed. And, you know, I took the Jungle Gym foodie tour. And, you know.
Oh, that's a cool idea.
A souvenir for the event, yeah. And then the tour two is... The dates that you don't have for tour one, July, September, November?
July the 24th, September 25th, and November 27th. So I booked out through the end of this year, so I would know what dates were, but you can be sure I will be adding. This is like a work in progress, so it will always be added. And
we've discovered that on the website this evening, yes.
Yeah. And it will always be a work in progress.
All right. Then wine. Mike, do you have any comments or anything? I hear you in the background tweeting, but
I have been doing some of that stuff. There was an article that you did. Actually, it was a little over a year ago, and I found it in my notes on my I type in about adding salt to wine. Had we talked about that before? I know Ron mentioned it because I have it on here. It's one of those times that he mentioned your blog many times. And
I admit it. It can't be.
and him suggesting the certificate idea, I guess, was a little bit of payback. You know, hey, thank you. Here's an idea. But,
yeah. Here you go. Here's an idea. Okay.
Apparently,
I don't think we have.
Adding a pinch of salt makes the wine smoother. That's what I had written down. When he mentioned your blog, I don't know if that was on April 10th, like last year.
Yep, last year. Yeah. Now it's red wine. Let's differentiate because I'm not so sure that's going to work well with a tram or a Sauvignon or a Chardonnay.
Okay.
Ice wine.
So in a typical 16-ounce glass of wine that I drink, you just add
boy, I like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. What is it?
16
ounces. Oh, 4 ounces. That's what I meant. 4 ounces.
Five. You can do five.
Whoops.
Woo! You're keeping up with the Europeans. I like that.
So you just add a pinch of salt to that? I mean, what does it take out of it, or what does it bring to it?
What actually happens is the sodium will knock out the bitterness that you get on your tongue, because you know how you'll do take a Malbec, and you get that really, you know, kind of bitter, buzzy thing going on. At least people who are not big dry wine drinkers will especially go, oh, I don't like it. But if you put that, just that pinch in there, and I don't mean, you know, a big hefty pinch like Grandma used when she baked. I'm tiny. And then if you think you need a little more, you can add a little more, because once you put it in, you're stuck.
Right there.
But it helps smooth out and lessen that bitterness that the tannins give the wine. And a lot of people who do not like a dry red wine will actually find it palatable. That it's something that they can enjoy.
Huh.
So that's a little trick and a little hint if you have a spouse who absolutely will not go near the dry red wines, try that. Or if they don't want to try it, sneak a little in their glass and see if it works.
Yeah. Taste anything different?
Okay. If they like it, hey, you're onto something here.
Right. I was picking that up when I was frantically searching for the number, and I had found that match, and I thought that was interesting. And then on your Grave Interest website, I know this is all about wine, but sometimes we do go off topic, and this is one of those moments. There's an article. Yeah, there's an article. Well, there's a couple of them that I was going through. But if you go, anybody listening, agraveinterest.blogspot.com, agraveinterest.blogspot.com. That's her other blog that she does. And the library in the cemetery, I thought was just fascinating. And it's how far down on the page? It's like the second, maybe second article or something on there right now. But the pictures, it's just amazing. There's bookshelves outside, and just the whole history of it and the dedication to it is just amazing. And I thought that was something I wanted to point out. But there was something else further down about Niagara Falls stopped flowing and the river bed went dry. I had no idea that was even possible. That was right below that. Okay. I mean, it was a long time ago, but still, that's just incredible. Right. And
it was 1848.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, didn't they stop it so they can clean up stuff? And they found all sorts of coins and bodies and just a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, that was 1969.
Was that the one? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
I knew
that's when they really did it on purpose. But 1848, it was an ice flow jam, and it stopped the water. And people, we're talking the mid-1800s, and when they all got together and tried to figure out what was going on, they figured the world was ending.
Yeah.
So there were all kinds of impromptu church services going on both sides of the Lost River there, or, you know, the falls. And people walked out then and were talking about, there was a report that they found a skeleton. And they were finding guns, knives, Indian artifacts, all kind of things that had either been purposely dropped over the falls or over time had, you know, been lost. Mm. And they were kind of amazed at what was really out there.
I've heard that when they stopped. You said 69, was it? They stopped
it? Yes, 1969. They actually went in and dammed
the
up the water so they could do repairs. So they could do repairs to the falls.
Yeah, because
wow.
It backs up. The Niagara Falls backs up, and so it's it's continuously backing up. It's interesting to know how far it has from over the eons, because of the rock formations are recently soft, and so it just keeps chipping it away, and the falls themselves are backing up. That is, if there's complete flow over the falls, but they've diverted so much of it that they're saying it's only like something ridiculous, like 40% of it, 35% of the actual water that's supposed to flow over it flows over it. So,
isn't that wild? I mean, when you look at it, you're thinking, wow, what would another 60% do?
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's amazing.
Yeah. Good stuff. Anyway, definitely go to the check out the website. Anybody out there listening, it's very interesting reading, and just another one of her another one of your passions that you do. And
it is
also a weekly blog. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, that's one
the
of
way
my
I explain it.
There too. He's a big fan of the grave interest.
Great.
Because he does that stuff. I mean, you know, don't you? You know.
I know.
Well, it's, I love
cool.
the history. I mean, yeah, it's so cool. The history and everything and what you do on there and then the pictures to go along with it, it's just, it's fantastic. So, yeah, everybody go out there and we'll get back to wine or whatever else. That was it.
Well, now you know, I sneaked a couple of cemetery tours and the oddity tours.
Okay. Well, let's go down to the oddity tours.
Yep. I was wondering about that.
Well, if we go up to the bar at the top of the page.
We got to click on
Oddity
Tour at the bar. Yes.
We'll get there, yeah. This is just, you know, this has been an evolution of how I started this. I told my husband back in August that I wanted to do a tour company. Actually, I told him I wanted to go back to Cincinnati. And, you know, he's looking at me like, well, what are we going to do in Cincinnati? And I said, let's start a tour company. So I've been developing different ideas, and I was actually going to do kind of like a Great Escape tour. And some of these were included in it, and I thought, you know, these are such odd places that we're going, it could just be an oddity tour. And I had, like, the perfect tagline for this. I woke up one morning, I wrote this down, I was so proud of myself. We put the odd in Odyssey. Unfortunately, Odyssey is spelt with only one D.
Correct.
So it kind of went, crap, that's not going to work.
You put the ood in Odyssey.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well. So it's always an adventure. It's like, it will be, believe me. But we are offering what is going to be an Indiana oddity tour. And we're going to go to an alpaca farm where you can see the alpacas and pet them and talk to the people that raise them and find out, you know, how often they shear them and what they do with the little furry wool. And then we are going to go to a red wolf sanctuary.
Oh, wow, they have one there.
They do. It is more than just red wolves. They take in all kind of animals. They have all kind of big cats. They have cougars. They have lions. A lot of these, unfortunately, are animals that have been put in captivity. And I've been told a lot of the times they get the animals from basically drug dealers who have the money, who want something exotic. And the animals are not being kept, obviously, in Cincinnati and surrounding areas. It's probably not a great idea to have a lion in your backyard. So a lot of these animals have to be confiscated because they're either being mistreated, malnourished, or just confined in too small of an area. And there is a sanctuary close by that will take them and take care of them and maybe help relocate them. So that in itself will be a really, really cool stop. And it's something that I only found two people who knew about it.
Wow.
When I talked to friends back in Cincinnati, and I thought, this is like a place I have got to take people. And they have I have a picture there of a black wolf that is just gorgeous.
Yes, it is.
So that's a big one on my list to take people and show them what's there. There is the Rees Harp Factory, and they make the most harps in the world. It's the largest harp factory. Yeah, in this tiny little town in Indiana, they used to give tours. And, you know, I told her what I was doing, and she said, well, we can't give tours anymore because we're too busy making harps. I thought, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, really.
But they have a woman who will come in on the tour days and play the harp, and you can see the factory working. So we can't go down anymore and watch them, you know, drill the wood and that, but you can still see what's happening, and she will basically entertain us with her harp playing. And then as I said, a cemetery. Riverview Cemetery. Oh, this, it's a gorgeous cemetery. It really is a pretty, pretty cemetery. It overlooks the Ohio River, hence Riverview, I know. But it's on a bluff. It's really cool. And there are some neat things there, one of which, a woman in 1989 wanted to be buried in her Cadillac Eldorado.
Ah.
And her husband purchased 14 plots. This was a major newsworthy event.
I can imagine it would be.
And they buried her in her red Eldorado. And it's, again, Mike will know this too. You can go into a cemetery and look around and think, oh, well, I wonder what's interesting here. And if you dig hard enough, you will find at least one story where you go, nobody knows this. Which is kind of how Grave Interest got started. I wanted to share the stories. And in researching this, which I will do a blog on this, so I'm not going to give it away, but there are several other people buried in their cars in cemeteries in the U.S.
Oh.
So keep an eye out for that one. That will be coming up this summer.
Is this including the ones that were shot and driven over an embankment into the rivers and stuff, or is this the legal ones?
Nope. I didn't count those.
Oh, okay. Because you always, you know,
people
think
have
that there
actually
has to be
put, yeah, they put in their will or they've requested that they want to be buried in their car. So that's, and a lot of cemeteries will just say, uh-uh. But there are some that will say, sure, we'll do it.
Yeah, if you buy 14 plots,
I was going to say, if you, it's going to cost you.
It's going to cost
it will.
You. Yeah.
It will, but that's still kind of cool.
Isn't cemetery plots the most expensive land that you can buy?
Pretty much, yeah. You get a real estate deed with that, too. But, wow, that's a lot of acreage there.
I've heard. Even when you consider that an acre of land in Napa Valley to plant grapes now is running almost $1 million, but still, cemetery plots, if you take the cost of each one individually within an acre, you're probably going to surpass $1 million.
Yeah, that's square footage. Yep. But that's that will be the Indiana Oddity Tour.
Okay, then
I have a Cincinnati Oddity Tour.
Now, there's no pictures that popped up on this.
That was the last one I was working on before I went to get my hair done today.
Okay.
We don't have a picture. And Kentucky Oddity Tours didn't make it up there either. But there's also one of those. But for the Cincy Tour, we are going to go to the Loveland Castle. And that is another one. If you're a local, you've heard about the Loveland Castle. And the man who built this took 50 years of his life and built this stone by stone. And it is. I wish the picture was up there. It is amazing. It looks like a medieval castle. And he even has the little, I can't think of the term. Well, you know where they stood and shot the arrows, that little...
Yes, the little...
Thingy. Okay, yeah.
Tiki thingy. Yeah.
Whatever it's called. It even has that.
A moat? Does it have a moat?
No. Yes, it has a moat. It's stunning. It's really, really cool. And he built it actually as a learning tool for Boy Scouts.
Uh-oh.
And he would have the local troops come over, and they could spend the night in the castle. And they had their fires, and that was the only lighting, and your candle. And they got to see what it was like in medieval times.
Wow.
And when he passed away, the locals just loved the place. So they've turned it into a tourist attraction.
Yeah.
And it, you know, when can you say you've been to a castle in the U.S.?
Hearst Castle in California. That's the only one.
Okay, I'll give you that. But but it's not medieval.
No, it isn't.
You can get medieval here.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But it's a really cool place. And they will still allow people to spend the night, but it's kind of like buying a cemetery plot. You're going to... they're going to pay for that privilege. And there are no beds, so bring your sleeping blanket and be prepared.
Oh, gee, a castle floor and a sleeping bag? You can't do that.
Yeah, you're roughing it.
Yes.
But for the experience, it would be cool.
Yeah.
And we'll also go to the American Sign Museum, which started out, the guy took in some signs that people were going to throw away. And he thought this was really cool, you know, all these great mid-century neon signs, and suddenly everybody was giving him signs. And he decided, I should start a museum.
A museum.
And he did. And he did. And it has grown, actually. They're celebrating their 10th anniversary this year, and they're building on. I'm thinking, wow. I mean, it has the original Frisch's Big Boy sign, which means a lot to people in Cincinnati.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's another local institution, yeah. And it's, I mean, how cool. And the fact that he's saving what is advertising from, you know, the mid-20th century. What are people going to do with that? They're going to throw it away. It's going to end up in a landfill. So you get to go and you get to see it, and a lot of it has been restored so that it does light up. And you get that old buzz, and I mean from the signs.
No, yeah, of course.
Yeah, there's no wine on this one, I'm sorry. But it's a cool place to go. And, boy, I did not even finish that, did I? You can tell I was
no,
in a hurry.
No, it just stopped. Yeah. Been prepared to be
entertained at Spring Grove Cemetery.
Okay, entertained.
Yeah, well, I was in a hurry to get this done for you. and I had to go get my hair cut. So
of course, yes,
I
prepare yourself for our show.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then...
Have you been to Spring Grove? You haven't, have you?
No.
Mike, have you been to Spring Grove Cemetery?
No. It doesn't sound familiar. Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, you have to go. If you go to Cincinnati, you have to go. Because this is a rural
Cincinnati
cemetery in the truest sense. And it is just wonderful. I mean, they have 15 lakes. They have a waterfall. They have footbridges. It's just so cool. They have a Norman chapel, which they do still let people get married in there. Give you chills. Gargoyles on the chapel. I mean, it's that cool.
Oh.
And you can walk around. The cemetery is, I don't know how many acres. A lot, I'll tell you that. It's a full day. You're going to be sore feet when you finish the day. Their chapel, the basement, was actually a holding cell in the late 1800s. And they used it because they had the carriage drivers who would take all these really cool roads, and they would have carriage races. And so you have your cemetery sexton going out, and he couldn't actually arrest them. I mean, he wasn't a policeman. But he would put them in this cell under the chapel and hold them overnight. And then that would detour the carriage races. And then we start up with the automobiles. They allowed them to start coming into the cemetery in 1911. And now we have automobile races. So they do the same thing. To deter speeding, they will arrest the drivers, and they make them stay in the cell overnight.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, now they just use it for storage. But I thought, what a cool idea. I bet people would pay to stay in the cell overnight.
They probably would, yes.
How cool is that?
Oh, yeah.
And they have so many people, well-known politicians. They have Bernard Kroger, who was the founder of the Kroger grocery stores. They have William Procter and James Gamble. You know, Cincinnati is known for Procter & Gamble Corporation. Charles Fleshman of Fleshman Yeast is buried there. The McAlpin department stores, which I think have been bought out, but George McAlpin is buried there. Alexander McGuffey, who created the McGuffey readers, he's buried there. It's a treasure trove.
Where is it located in Cincinnati, northeast, southwest?
It is close to downtown.
Oh.
Which you wouldn't expect, but it is. It takes up a huge chunk. Kind of, I would say, a little east of downtown.
Oh, I've been all over Cincinnati. I've never heard of that.
Hmm. Yeah, that 733 acres is what they have.
Wow.
I just found my number. So only 400 are currently being used. So somebody thought ahead, and they have another 333 acres that can be developed over the years for burial.
Wow. Considering plot is rather small, that's going to last for years.
Somebody was on the ball when they bought their land to do this. And they have all kind of tours. This is a cemetery that is very progressive. And their Heritage Foundation is wonderful because they will make sure that there are, you can take an arboretum tour. You can take the short history tour. Or you can ride the tram and take a longer tour. They give twilight tours. And they will have, come Halloween, come October, haunted cemetery tours, and we will be taking people to those.
All right.
Oh, man. Wow.
I am doing all kind of haunted tours, and I know all kind of places in the Tri-State. It will be so cool.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Mike, you're going to have to start scheduling a vacation.
Come in October, we'll have the best time. And I'll make sure you go to Jungle Gyms. Okay.
Okay. That really sounds good. But you said 15 lakes are in the cemetery? 15 lakes?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's
15 lakes?
Amazing.
Wow.
Huge.
There are a lot of swans and geese. This is just, it's almost like a nature park.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kind of wild animals, deer. We've had deer walk across the road while we're walking through. You just think, wow. It is one of my top 10 cemeteries.
Wow. Okay.
Definitely. Why doesn't more people know about this? This is so, 700 some odd acres in almost downtown Cincinnati. It seemed like it would be something that would be on every Cincinnati homepage.
I know. Well, you've got the stigma of a cemetery, for lack of a better way to put it. You know, people are really, when I go to wine conferences, and I do wine tastings and wine judging, and we'll talk about my blog and my experience in wine, and then I'll mention, I also write a cemetery blog, and you can literally see people take a step back and look at me and say, really?
Oh.
Why? And then I have to go into the, tombstone tourist mode and tell them, it's like a park. How cool this is, and what all you will see. There's art and architecture and history and culture. And some people I have actually convinced, and some people have just looked at me like, "You're really bizarre." And
okay.
Which I fully admit, but there's a lot there. It's not just the morbid, death thing. That isn't what. That isn't what pulls me to a cemetery. It's the history. And if you're a genealogy person, you kind of get this. But you haven't usually looked at it from all the different facets. You know, you're looking for family history and you know to look at the tombstones for this. But there is so much. You can find out about a person's life on some of these tombstones.
Mm-hmm.
And I am working on a book. How's this for a segue? It is on the rustic tree stones, and they are fascinating. They are my favorite stone in a cemetery, and some of the carvers would put enough detail on those stones that you could tell what a person's occupation was. A lot of times, you will find where they have carved their gun, and you'll see like a squirrel running around the tree, and it gives you an idea what their hobbies were. And if you know some of the symbolism, if you can read, what some of the flowers meant, and some of the different, foliage, you can tell something about them. You know, if there's a rose, and the rose is just in a bud shape, it's someone who died young, And if it's a rose in full bloom, it's someone who died in the peak of their life. If there's acorns or oak leaves, that's usually on a man's stone, which shows he was known for his wisdom or his fairness. And you can find, you know, the scales of justice for an attorney. It just, I do a lot of these presentations. I absolutely love being able to tell people what these symbols mean. And they don't realize. They just think there's something pretty on the stone.
That's exactly.
But there is an entire, there's a silent language on these stones. So, and that should be a tour. I should do a tour like that. Wouldn't
you should
that be cool?
Do a tour.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay, that's, okay, Ron, there's two. I need a card at the end, and I need to do a silent language tour. Oh, cool.
There you go. All right.
It's a work in progress. It's continually changing.
Yes, considering that, yeah, you know, been prepared to be, as this one site ends, then prepare to be the oddity tours. Now, since we are all about wine,
can we look at the wine tours?
Let's do the wine tours.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think? Okay.
Last Saturday of every month.
Yeah, every month. And what I am looking at are most of the wineries in Cincinnati are well known. When my husband and I were there about 20 years ago, there weren't that many wineries. And there are a tremendous number of wineries now.
Mm.
And I wanted to find something for local people that they hadn't been to, that they wouldn't know about. So I head out into Kentucky, and I head out into Indiana, and I found wineries that are not on any wine trails.
Mm.
So these are your mom and pop boutique wineries. Some of these are rustic wineries. One is built in a barn, but it is an up to spec barn. We're not, you know, talking sawdust on the floor, and which I actually did go to one of those in New York, but that is another story, and it is scary, so we won't go there. But this, I'm going to take you to, it'll be four Hoosier wineries, and there are, from the list, I think eight, so we'll rotate continually. You will have a different experience at each one. None of these are your cookie-cutter wineries. None of these you're going to see are the Italian villa. These are down-home wineries, and you're going to get to probably the person pouring your wine is the winemaker. So you can ask questions. You'll get a tour. Some have facilities to tour. Some are just going to say, well, there are my carboys in the corner.
Yeah.
You know, it's that catch as catch can.
So many wineries in this country are like that, though. I mean, there's just people don't realize it. I had someone criticize Florida Estates Winery because we were just a little small place that was in a house at one time, and that doesn't look like a winery. Well, most places don't. These great big ones that you see in these California ones, these million-dollar ones, those are the exceptions rather than the rule. The rule is the small ones like this. You find these small ones all over the country that are in old houses, that are in barns, that are in a shed that they built in the back and stuff. These are the ones that are fun. These are the ones that give you a little bit of the basis of the winemaking. It's not like millions of dollars is poured into it to make this great big fancy place where you can say, ooh, look at this. We're all not Napa Valley. So I'm
right.
Sorry, I had to make that comment.
No, I will join you on your soapbox. This is definitely what I want people to see, that it is. It's mom and dad and the kids, and this is their livelihood. Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes they're both working full-time jobs,
mm-hmm.
and they just do this on the weekend for the love of wine. But you will taste some exceptional wines, because you know, it's in somebody's house does not mean that they can't make good wine.
Exactly.
There are some great wines out there, but a lot of these places people wouldn't stop at, or they would feel uncomfortable. Well, it's in somebody's house, but there's the sign, ring the bell. They would love to tell you about their wines. I'm going to try to break that.
I've done this over the program over the last 6 years, too. We've talked to a lot of real small wineries around the country. and just fascinating stories. Just all these people and all these little small wineries, and you know, some of them are downtown in cities. They're not out on a ranch or a farm or something. They're downtown. They basically a storefront, but they do all the work in the back room and in the basements and stuff. And so I'm sorry. I just, you know, it's to educate people and let them know there's so many of these great little wineries out there is yay for you. If I had the app up here to make have a clapping background, I would for you because this is great.
Well, so, having been in the business, you know it's that.
There you go.
Yay!
Thank you, Mike. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's that situation of once you get them to get into this place, now they're going to be willing to do it at other places.
Yes.
But you've got to break that fear of your intruding or the wines won't be that good or it's just too down. No. These are great places. They are great people. They have great wine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're going to be doing once a month, every Saturday. We'll take the wine tour.
Wow.
And then at the end of the year, we have the wine down year tour. And that's going to be, you know, one of those where it will be the four wineries. If someone's making sparklings, they will definitely be on the list because we're not looking at New Year's Eve. So I'm kind of hoping. And there are a few that do that.
That sounds fascinating. I like that idea a lot because there's wonderful wineries out there, little small ones. In fact, when we were in Ohio there driving along the river, we found this little small place that was buried back between the river and the main road that was covering the southern part of Ohio, and the great people, wonderful wines. They dug a hole in the ground. They had a little cellar. We happened to catch them on a Friday night when they had a band in there, and there was a bunch of people sitting around, and it was just a wonderful time. But you would never find it otherwise, you know. It's
exactly. Yeah, there are no signs. You know, they have not. These people have not put up the state tourism signs. They have not formed a wine trail or joined a wine trail. They're in this purely for the love of making the wine. You know, and making a living is great too, but there's a difference, like you were saying, between spending millions and millions and millions. Well, you're investing that to make more money.
Right.
And the wine seems at times like that's something that comes second or farther down the line. The bottom line is to make the money. And with some people, it's just the love of doing it. And that's what I want to share. These are the people who get their hands in the grapes and, you know, they hand bottle it and they're hand labeling it and they're figuring it out. And that's when it's cool when you get other people to go, I think I want to make wine.
Yeah. That's great. I love that idea and I love that you're promoting that. That's a wonderful thing there, I think, considering that I'm a small winery also. And so... It's I have a passion for that idea and for the whole thing, so that's wonderful. And with that being said, that's all of your tours. Did we cover? No, we didn't. We didn't cover the historical tours along the back roads. We didn't do that one.
I'll do this one quickly. How's that? As if I can do something quickly. I don't use Twitter because it, you know, 140 characters. Are you kidding?
Oh,
me?
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Yeah. I do get warmed up on 120.
Yeah. I mean, I have to elaborate on this. So I will try to make this short. Again, we're going to offer different tours. We'll have the Southeastern Indiana tour, and that's we're taking the back roads. I mean, we're really taking the back roads on this. There's the Michaela, I'm still not sure if I'm saying that right, Farms. I went there. It was wonderful. There are Franciscan, that'd be correct, sisters who actually work on this farm. It's a it's a working farm, and that's what they do. And they give tours, and you can, you know, see exactly how they're doing this, what they're doing, talk to them about it. There is a tiny, tiny, tiny building, which is the museum for the Milan 54 Hoosiers. And this is similar, the movie Hoosiers.
Yes. Yeah.
They have the most of their artifacts there. This is a tiny little high school. They had 162 students at the time, and they beat one of the largest. The Muncie Central had almost 2,000 students, and they beat them in 1954 at the Indiana State Championships. And having been born and bred a Hoosier, when they say Hoosier hysteria, they mean it. Basketball is everything in March. Everything. And so this is one of those little places that, you know, they're fighting to stay alive. And I thought, there's so much history here that it's, you know, what people need to know there's something like this. So we're going to go there for some tours, and then we are going to round it off at Hill Forest, which is the mansion that is pictured. It is
Gorgeous.
And it is on the bluff of the Ohio River. And you can tell that this was owned by a riverboat captain, and it is just gorgeous. It was built, I believe it was the 1870s, and it's just, for the 1870s, it had everything you could want.
That will be
the southeastern Indiana tour. And then there's another tour where we will go to Vivi.
Vivi.
Which is
not they, Vivi.
Right. I was corrected very quickly, so I have to remember how to pronounce it now. This is in Switzerland County. It is the location of the first winery in Indiana.
All right.
I believe it was the 1850s. And there are two or three wineries there. They have a wine show there every summer, a wine festival. But they have so much history. And that's another thing was, wow, you know, there's the Ohio River Museum. How cool to go and really see what life was like during the 19th century. This was a steamboat town.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see a lot of mansions here, which were built with steamboat money, with you know, the wealthy money that came up and down the river. There is the Schneck Mansion, which was built by a hay king, and it has 35 rooms. And yeah, this is big, and it has it's used now as a B&B, but you can still tour it. And then there is the historic Hoosier Theater, and being someone who absolutely loves to be up on the stage, I had to have a theater in here somewhere. And this one was built in 1837, and what is cool is they say it's haunted. So,
all right.
Of course, that will be in an October tour. I know when I say that, though, if you're looking at a theater, just about every one of them has a ghost story.
Yeah, haunted
something.
Somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, it's not called a ghost light for nothing there. There's always something kind of weird going on there. But that will be, we have 2 days scheduled for each of these tours during the year. So you can take the historical tours several times. Madison, Indiana, if you are anywhere in the Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio area, Madison is known for their antiques, for their history, and for their wine. They have 3 wineries in this little town.
All right.
So that's another great stop. And then the Kentucky tour is going to be, there's the Beringer Crawford Museum, which is very big in the transportation of the region. There's the Railway Museum, and you literally can get out and climb into these rail cars. And
oh,
they
cool.
don't do anything fancy, so you know, you don't wear your heels and don't dress, because this is going to be a kind of a grubby tour. But you'll have a good time, and you'll really get to see what they have and how, you know, these train cars hooked up and how they worked. And then we'll close that one up with the Ramage Civil War Museum, and that's just a really that's the building picture there, and it's just a really cool stop to get more of a feel for the Civil War, and you're right there between Ohio and Kentucky, and, you know, one's Confederate and one's Union. So you're really getting to find out how these people lived together with just a river between them.
It, a lot of history in that area there. I mean, a tremendous amount of history in Ohio, Kentucky, Cincinnati, along the river there. It's and it looks like you're tapping into it as much as you can on these tours, which is exciting.
Yeah.
Any questions? Any comments, Mike?
Parking. The departures are going to be out of Harrison, I think, Ohio. Is there? I mean, do people park there? Where do they park for this?
Yes. Now, depending on the tour, the foodie tours will be leaving out of the two Jungle Gem stores.
Okay.
But the historical tour, good heavens, I'm trying to think of some of the others. The majority will be leaving from the western side of the city because we will be going into Indiana.
Okay.
And just like this, yeah, Harrison is right there before. You're like 6 miles from crossing into Indiana. And what you're going to be doing is parking. There is a lot there that has Worcester Builders and the Ohio License Branch, and it's like a park and ride. So you can park there, get on the bus, and then we will take you over into the Hoosier State and show you a good time.
That's awesome.
Same thing with the wine news tours, so we'll be leaving there too?
Yes, they will. And that's where we will take you back, and hopefully you will have had a wonderful day and bought some wine and met some winemakers that you just have to go back and visit with.
See again. Yes, that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. It does. It sounds like an exciting thing you have coming up. And your first tour is coming up how soon here now? When's the very first one for anything?
That will be, we're almost 2 months to the day. It will be June the 18th will be the first tour.
Mm.
And that's going to be a casino hop.
Uh-huh.
And then on Friday the 19th will be our first historical tour. And that one is going to be the southeastern Indiana. That's the one that's going to do the Milan Museum and get you to Hill Forest to look around. And then the 20th of June will be the Oddity Tour, and we'll start with Cincinnati.
Wow. So you've got this all pretty much booked up for the rest of the year now.
Yes, I do. And I'm that's what I said. I'm throwing extra things in, too. You know, I'm putting some of this stuff together last night, and I came to Veterans Day, and I thought, well, we should do a bus tour up to the Air Force Museum and get a behind-the-scenes tour. And
Brothers.
So I've got that penciled in for that.
That Air Force Museum is just, you should put that on our itinerary anyway, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that live around there who's never been there, and which is really sad. So
I love it. I was a volunteer there for 5 years.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I was. Yeah. Loved it.
Me
too.
It's so fascinating. You can spend 2 or 3 days wandering around that thing, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. Just read all the little signs and all that stuff. It's just a fascinating place.
It is. And did you notice when you walked in, did you get the smell?
Yes.
The old motor oil and the engine and the canvas and the glue. And I took some friends there. We went last winter. And, you know, you walk in and it's like, and they're looking at me like, do you get the smell?
I go,
and I'm thinking, okay, this is another one of those bizarre things, isn't it?
Yes, the smell. The smell particularly comes out, though, when you go into the big room with all the planes. That's really where you pick it up the most. Yeah. Have you been there,
World
Mike?
World War I and World War II.
No.
Yeah. You haven't?
No, I love aviation. I should, that's definitely going to have to be on my list.
Okay. We'll put that on your list when you come out.
It's on the Air Force Base there, too, right there between Cincinnati
it's
and
right
eight.
There by Wright Pat. Yeah.
Wow.
Wright Patterson.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's something else to add to your list. That is really a neat museum, though. Really. And, Mike, you would love that because of your love of airplanes and all that stuff. You would nuts there.
And it is totally free.
Yes.
Wow.
No charge. Yeah.
Is that in Indiana, Ohio? What side is that on?
No, it's in Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah.
Dayton. Oh, okay. Oh,
southern part. The Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. It's right there. Air Force Museum is actually this. Yeah, it's put that on your bucket list because it's something that you
just
would
wrote
really
it.
Into.
Yeah, just wrote it
you
down. I keep listening to the show. I'm going to go broke.
Traveling all over the country. Oh, I got to go there.
Where are we going now?
Sign up for a tour.
Well, Joy, thanks. I was trying to tell people before you got on, before Mike brought you on the program. This is your third time on or the fourth time on our show?
I'm not sure.
I was thinking four, but then I know three. This is the third. I was thinking four, but
I'm not sure either.
I don't know. Oh, well. Thank you again for being on All About Wine. I will continue to plagiarize your sites and talk about them on the show. But I feel that we're even now because I made some suggestions that you can put into play so we can call it even. And
with one caveat, have me back in October for the cemetery tours.
Oh, we always look forward to that. Yeah, that's one of
the haunted wineries. Oh, we'll have fun. Okay.
The haunted winery tours. Always October is our haunted winery month. So all you out there who just started to listen, haunted winery month is October, and we always have some great guests. Joy's always on with us talking about haunted places. We had a winery from Virginia last year, year before last. We had one from Missouri. So it's a fun month, so we'll look forward to that. And with her tours, maybe she can pick up some more information to pass on to us also.
Yeah, if she has time.
If she has time.
I'll make time.
So good.
Okay.
It's, as always, a joy, and no pun intended, and a lot of fun having you on the program and talking with you about all this. And best of luck and best of everything with your Tour du Joy venture here. It sounds exciting.
Well, thank you. I'm ready to get going.
Yeah. First, go ahead and fix up this website, though.
Get that web page. I know. I've got a list going here. That'll be my weekend.
That will take care of that then, yeah.
It will.
So, thank you very much for joining us, and we will look forward to talking to you come this October during our Haunted Winery Month.
Cool.
That'd be awesome.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
You're welcome.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
Okay. I almost clicked the button off for my Skype thing. I almost disconnected myself.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm sure we gave out the website. What? I'm sure we gave out the website though. But I've been sending out tweets on this. But Tour TOUR, the letter D, Tour D Joy, TOUR D JOY, JOY.com. Check it out. A work in progress, but she is planning on quite a few very, very cool tours, and oh man, that's going to be awesome. That sounds really exciting up there. So, always good to talk to her.
Yeah, it is. It's and again, I was trying to think three or four, and I can't remember. I know three for sure, but I was thinking maybe a fourth. But oh well. Always fun talking to her. Like you say, she's always have some interesting things to share, and not just about wine, because we are all about wine, but the stuff about cemeteries and the grave interest. And that big one in Cincinnati, I've never heard of that before. That's just fascinating, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, very good. Good luck with that. And June the 18th is the first tour, so wow.
It's coming following us here.
That's a lot of work to put together a tour.
She's got them all through the air. We got 90 seconds. I was just told that we're almost off the air here live, so we go into archives. Right. But we're done anyway, and there's no festival this weekend. There's no class or anything. So.
Yeah, I was looking at that. Next Thursday, the 23rd, is questionable right now. I'll see if I can whip something up. Not sure how work's going to be, but I'll see if I can do something. So stay tuned, and we'll let you know on Twitter and all that if we'll be on. So
yeah,
if not, definitely on the 30th. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely on the 30th. And next week I'll be out of town. Mike's going to see what he can do. Thank you all for listening to us. We appreciate it very much.
Yep. Have a great week and drink a lot of wine.
And drink a little wine.
Yeah. We'll see you.
Bye.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.
Hello.